cause of Christ, and we've been talking about that. So welcome Pastor Mike as he comes and brings us the next part in the series. Love you, man.
Love you. Check, check, check. Can you hear me? Good morning, Victory Church. Love you so much. Just want to take a little bit of time before I even get started talking, doing my own thing up here. Just give honor to Pastor Bill. How many of you know he's just the best senior pastor in the world? Amen. Amen. I don't think as a church we say it enough. I know I don't say it enough to you. I love you so much, and I appreciate you. And I'm just so glad that you're my senior pastor. Love you. Amen. Let's pray before we get started. Father, we just love you so much. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful church and all the beautiful church people, God. And even those who are here for the first time, thank you, Lord, for them. God, we love you so much. And we just ask for your presence to be here now with us, flowing through us, God. Speak to us through your word. We can't understand it without you, God. So we need your grace. I just pray, impart grace to every hearer, every ear, God, that it would not just go over people's heads or enter their mind and then just stay there, but God, that it would deposit into our hearts and change us from the inside out, that it would empower us to do your will and accomplish great things that you've called us to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, the title of my message today is Hearts Focused Outward. Hearts Focused Outward. And if you came in this morning, which you are, you did, because you're here, you saw on your chair some sermon notes that I printed out for all of you. And what we're going to do is just an outline of this message, and we're going to go through it. I'm going to ask you to practice your handwriting skills. Most people type now, but I'm going to ask you to print with a pen. It should be on the seat back in front of you somewhere. And fill in blanks along with me as we get going. And also, to introduce this message and kind of set the tone for it, I found a video for you to watch. And so just sit back and enjoy it as it plays.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you, so let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Would you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor? Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
I love Mr. Rogers. Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor. Welcome to Victory Church, this neighborhood, with a whole bunch of neighbors. Man, Mr. Rogers, man, he was awesome. I didn't appreciate him when I was a little kid. I wanted to watch Batman. I wanted to watch Ninja Turtles. And when my mom sat me in front of Mr. Rogers, I thought, this guy's boring. What does he know? But then I'd sit and watch a little bit longer. And he actually knew a lot. He was very loving, and he was compassionate. What I noticed about him was he had a heart that was focused outward. He was a true neighbor to everyone around him. In fact, I just started studying him. His name is Fred Rogers. Was Fred Rogers. He passed away. But just an awesome man of God. He was an ordained Presbyterian minister. I guess that's common knowledge, but to a young guy like me, that I go, whoa, that's awesome. And I was reading an article online, 15 facts about Mr. Rogers that proves that he was the best neighbor there ever was. And I'm not going to read all 15 of them, but I'm going to read two of them. And I just thought it was awesome. Once on a fancy trip up to a PBS exec's house, he heard the limo driver was going to have to wait outside for 2 hours. So he insisted the driver come in and join them, which flustered the host. On the way back from the dinner party, Rogers sat up front in the limo with the driver And when he learned that they were passing the driver's home on the way, he asked if they could stop in to meet his family. According to the driver, it was one of the best nights of his life. The house supposedly lit up when Rogers arrived, and he played jazz piano and bantered with them late into the night. Rogers sent the limo driver notes and kept in touch with the driver for the rest of his life. And actually, he did that with everyone who interviewed him. He would ask the interviewer more questions than the guy asked him. And he would connect with them, too, and send letters and correspondence and keep up with them, almost like as a pastor would. He just had a heart that was focused outward. Also, everyone loved, I mean, who could have anything against Mr. Rogers? But so much so, even in this letter that I was reading, it said, according to a TV Guide profile, Fred Rogers drove a plain old Impala for years. One day, however, the car was stolen from the street near the TV station. When Rogers filed a police report, the story was picked up by every newspaper, radio, and media outlet around town. Amazingly, within 48 hours, the car was left in the exact spot where it was taken from. With an apology on the dashboard, it read, if we'd known it was yours, we never would have taken it. How many of you guys would like to be like that? Just have a reputation of just like loving, compassionate. Everyone knows that when they come across your path, they're going to be loved and accepted, not judged or criticized. They're going to experience the love of God. So much so where if someone gets stolen from you, they're going to apologize and return it back to you. That's pretty amazing. And it's very encouraging because also the same God that was dwelling inside Fred Rogers is dwelling inside you. That's very encouraging. He had a heart focused outward. He was loving. He was compassionate. He was a good neighbor. I want to read a passage, and I didn't have enough space to put in your notes, but if you would, in some white open space on your notes, write in this verse, Luke. Sam, I'm going to put you to work this morning. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. That's where it picks up. Actually, if you want, you can read the context of it in verse 25. So if you want to fill that in, Luke chapter 10, verse 25. But I'm going to read verse 3. But before I do that, I'm going to give you the context. And that is, there's this really smart expert in religious law that wanted to test Jesus. And he asked him, Jesus, how do I get eternal life? He thought he was going to stump Jesus. And Jesus said, well, you're the expert. You tell me, pretty much. I'm paraphrasing. But the guy goes, all right. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And Jesus says, bingo, you got it. Go and do that. But that didn't, I guess, sit well with the religious leader because really what he wanted was he wanted justification for his actions. He wanted to be justified. He wanted to be proven right. So he says, well, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And let's pick it up in verse 30, where Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. That'd be like a pastor walking by and not doing anything, just crossing the road. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there. That'd be like a deacon or someone who's been serving in the church for many, many years. But he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along. And when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Who were Samaritans back then? They were hated by the Jews. Hated, despised. Because they took the religion of Judaism and mixed it in with a whole bunch of pagan works and pagan actions and pagan sacrifices, pagan gods. And they had hundreds of years of battling between themselves. They hated each other, mortal enemies. And this despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey. That'd be like bringing this guy into your car and took him to an inn. I'm just putting in common terms, bringing him to a motel or a hospital, and took him there where he could take care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins. What was that? That was 2 days' wages. How much do you make in 2 days? He gave him that. Gave him that. Telling the innkeeper, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. He left his credit card there with him. Pretty much. Said, run it up on my bill, whatever he needs to get well. That's compassion. That's compassion. Verse 36 says this. Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. Verse 37 says, the man replied, duh, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. At that point, probably the people around Jesus, just their jaws were just dropped. And they're like, did he just make the Samaritan the hero in this story? That'd be like making a Nazi the hero in the story. That'd be like making some fascist regime guy like the hero of the story. That's how much they hated the Samaritans. Yet he was considered the good neighbor because of his acts of compassion. And Jesus teaches us that everyone who crosses our path, get this, is our neighbor. Everyone. At that time, the Jews, they knew the law, but the way it was taught to them, this was their tradition. Our neighbor are our fellow Jews. Our race, our religion, that's our neighbor. They felt no obligation to love anyone outside of that circle. And Jesus brings them with this reality. Hey, everyone's your neighbor who comes across your path. That's sobering. Sobering. I'm not here to bash you this morning. I'm here to encourage you. Don't worry, because Christ in you can empower you to overcome all the prejudices, all the preconceived ideas about people. You can be led by the Holy Spirit and really see God move through you to bless people around you. Amen. Amen. In fact, the first scripture that I have on your sermon notes is Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. It says, let your light shine. Let your light shine before men. In such a way, catch this, in such a way that they may see your good works. And what happens? Glorify your Father who is in heaven. How many times have I just blessed someone who's come across my path, and they may not even be Christian, they might not even be close to God at all, but the moment you tell them you're doing it in the name of Jesus and you love them, they're praising God. They're like lifting up their hands and they're giving you a hug. I've experienced that. I've experienced this scripture in reality. It works. It works. Letting your light shine. What's that light? That's the light of Jesus inside you. Amen? That's the light of Jesus inside you. It's not your own light. My own light stinks. It's dark. It's crummy. It's hazy. No, but the light of Jesus in me, oh, that shines bright. Thankfully, it's not up to us. We rely on his strength. We rely on his power and his Holy Spirit in us. And he gives us grace. If we're willing, he gives us grace to be able to really touch people with his light and his love. That's encouraging. That's encouraging. In other words, let God shine through you. Let the love and light of God shine through you. So the question is, how do we let our light shine? How do we get hearts focused outward? I'm telling you, it's a process. No one has it perfect. I fail. Many times I fail. No one has it perfect. But there's a process that God will help us to go through. And I've outlined it for you. In fact, the very first fill in the blank is look beyond your circumstances. Go and write that in. Look beyond your circumstances. The best way to get your heart focused outward is to look beyond the stuff that you're dealing with. Get out of your, look beyond your bubble. Look beyond your problems, the mountains that are in your way, the problems, the issues, the fears, the anxieties, the pains. And I'm not saying that those pains aren't real, and I'm not saying that it's not important. It's important to God, and it's important to us too. But there's something amazing that happens when we look past our circumstances and we put our faith in a God who's way bigger than all of our problems, who's fully capable and willing to solve those problems for us. He just asks us, hey, just have your heart focus outward to other people. I'll take care of all this other stuff for you. Look beyond your circumstances. A lot of times, what keeps us from looking beyond our problems? Oftentimes, it's fear. We get really anxious and afraid whether our needs will be met, Well, I need healing. Well, I need this. I need that. I'm hungry. Don't worry. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You don't have to worry about those things. Our problems oftentimes appear impossible to overcome. Guess what? They are in your own strength, but not to God. With man, things are impossible. With God, all things are possible. That's encouraging. That's very encouraging. I love that about God. It's not up to me. It's not up to you. It's up to God. Let's just put pressure on God. He can handle it. He's God. He's infinite. He's powerful. He's cool. He's buff. He's awesome. He can handle all that. He can handle it all. Just put that pressure on God. So step number one, fill in the blank. Step number one, trust in God's provision. Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped a verse. You guys got to call me out. That's why I gave you those sermon notes. I'm just kidding. It's my fault. No, let's read Matthew chapter 10, verse 31. You got me, Will. Thank you, man. Matthew chapter 10, verse 31. So don't be afraid. You are worth more to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Oh, in the context, he was saying, dude, there's not a sparrow that falls to the ground that I don't notice. And I feel for that sparrow that falls to the ground. So don't be afraid. You are worth more to God than a whole flock of sparrows. He loves you. Don't be afraid. So step number one, fill in the blank. Trust in God's provision. This is how we begin to look beyond our circumstances and get our hearts focused outward. Trust in God's provision. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says this, and this same God who takes care of me, I can attest to this, this is Paul talking to the Philippian church. And Paul went through a lot, if you've ever studied Paul. A lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of trials and tribulations. But he says this, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs. From what? His glorious riches. Oftentimes, when I was a little kid, I grew up in the church and I heard that. And we went to a church that was big time into prosperity. And there's such an emphasis on money. But man, let's not limit it to just money. Money comes and goes. What about joy? What about peace? What about healing? What about grace to really bless people? Riches. That's true riches. Not just money. God goes way beyond that. He supplies all your needs. If you're hungry, he'll feed you. If you're naked, he'll clothe you. If you need healing, he'll heal you. It's from his glorious riches, which have been given to us, where? In Christ Jesus. It all flows from this loving, personal relationship with God. That's pretty amazing. What that tells me is if I just focus on my relationship with God and just love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, I have the grace to love others as I love myself. It just flows out of that first, our relationship with God. That's very encouraging. Again, put the pressure on God. He's going to empower you to do it. So empower you. I remember in summer of 2007, I needed a car. I really needed a car. I was 3 years into college. I didn't have a car. And I was a little rat. I had this entitlement mentality to it. I'm 3 years in college. I need a car. I didn't need a car. I could take a bus. But I felt like I needed a car. But also, in reality, God was preparing me to bless me for a car. And I realized, okay, Lord, I don't want to be selfish about this. I'm not going to ask for like an Escalade or anything. Just give me a solid car. Just give me like a car that's going to last. And I prayed, Lord, bless me with a car that I can just bless people with. Give people rides to church. Stuff like that. A simple prayer. And also, like, I didn't have the money to do it. Like, the job that I had wasn't enough. So I needed a better job to have a car. But it turned out that I needed a car to get this job. You ever been in that situation? God totally came through, and he blessed me with favor with this project manager. I used to work at the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in the project management office in Jacksonville, and I was just this little clerk. And I just formed strong relationships with the project managers, and this project manager named Joe Redican, awesome guy, he got a promotion to Washington, D.C., and he was trying to get rid of his car, a 95 red Honda Civic. Sound familiar? I still have that car. It is a blessing. And I've driven so many people to church in that car. God answered my prayers. Why? Because I'm not boasting at all. It's by the grace of God. But my prayer was I wanted to help people with it. It wasn't, God cares about your needs. He cares about the needs of the people around you too. And if you view it this way, it's like, well, Lord, I want to be blessed with an abundance so I can bless others around me. I don't want just enough for myself. God's not a God of just enough. He's a God of abundance to bless us with more so we can be a blessing to others. I was so grateful for that. So grateful. After you learn to trust in God's provision, then you're able to do step two. Step number two on your page, move with compassion. Fill it in, compassion. Move with compassion. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 says this. It's right there on your notes. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. How many of us go to God like this? If you're willing, God, will you do this for me, please? If you're willing, you can heal me and make me clean, he said. And Jesus responds, moved with anger and frustration at this sinner. This guy who should have had enough, you know, wherewithal to take care of himself. Now he said, moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. Do you need a touch from God this morning? If you've never experienced a touch from God, my prayer is that you would this day experience him touch you with his love, his compassion. I am willing, he said. Be healed. Oh, imagine just sitting there hearing Jesus say, be healed. What's the next verse? Verse 42. Instantly, the leprosy disappeared. And the man was healed. What compassion. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. If we want to be like little Christ, like Jesus, let's rely on the love of God within us and move with compassion. Look to people, not with judgment and criticism, but with compassion, with loving eyes. Knowing no one's perfect, none of us, but by the grace of God, I'd be right there too in that circumstance. Thank you, Lord. I love this this second verse that I have on here. Psalm 103, verse 4. God, who redeems your life from the pit. You feel like you're in a pit this morning? A situation that you just can't get out of. You just can't reach to the top to pull yourself out. God will redeem you from that pit. No matter what your circumstances, God will redeem you from that pit. He crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. Just imagine God just putting a crown on your head. You know what that means? That means he affirms you. He approves of you. He loves you. He doesn't reject you. He accepts you. He puts a crown. It represents royalty. He views you as royal, precious to him. He crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. I just praise God that we serve a God like that. So loving and accepting. He's not a big God with a big stick ready to hit you when you make a mistake. He loves you. He approves of you. He forgives you. There's a scripture that says, if you're forgiven much, you love much. I've done so many bad things in my life. You guys don't know, before I came to Victory Church, I was the worst kind of sinner. I was a hypocrite. The worst kind, growing up in the church. Now this, yeah, the hypocrite, that's the sinner that Jesus went after the most. Pharisees and Sadducees thinking they're all big and bad. Yeah, I was full of pride. Full of pride. I'll share another time what humbled me. Lord willing, I'll share another time. It would take up too much time. It's a long story. But God brought me to a point where I realized, you know what? My sin is just destroying the people around me. God, forgive me. And I had to repent, and I was humbled. So I've been forgiven of so much. If you've been forgiven of so much, you have this ability to love so much. And if you haven't experienced that forgiveness, there's going to be an opportunity at the end of this service for you to experience that forgiveness. And you're going to be able to have the love of God just fill you up to be poured out to other people. It'll bless you, and it'll bless you to overflowing. Oh, it's just amazing to experience his love. All right, so after we trust in God's provision, after we move with compassion, what's the third step that we need to do? We need to use your advantage to help others. Use your advantage to help others. Where do I get that from? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful servants of God's grace in its various forms. We know from a series that we had in January that the grace of God is, of course, unmerited favor, but it's also what? Unfair advantage. You guys remember that from January? Unfair advantage. When God blesses you with something, gifts you with something, he's giving you an advantage in this life. Is that advantage for us to just be proud and like, ooh, yeah, look at me? No, it's not that. It's to serve others. When God gives you an advantage, it's to bless those who are disadvantaged in that area. Catch that. That's very important. It's to bless those who are disadvantaged in that area. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful servants of God's grace in its various forms. It's a stewardship. Any advantage that we have in this life, you can be just full of wisdom. You can be someone who's just like, maybe you're that person that people come to you, they're always coming to you to solve their problems, to give them advice. And you always seem to be able to tell them, you know, what they need to hear to help them. You have that grace to have that those words of wisdom for them. You use that to those who are disadvantaged, who don't have that wisdom. You do that with those, maybe someone's suffering with depression. Depression. What combats depression? Joy. Oh, joy. I'm reminded of a guy, maybe you know him, Doug Cresimano. If you don't know him, I'll describe him for you. He's a guy who went to this church for several years. I love him so much. He was best man at my wedding. He's my roommate. Awesome guy. He was the funniest guy I've ever come across. He could make me laugh in whatever situation I was in. I mean, and I'm so glad God paired me up because during my time, season of living with him, I went through a lot of trials. And I had to battle depression. Fear and worry and anxiety. I had to battle those things. And God just blessed me with Doug, a guy who just had this gift to just make you laugh. I miss Doug. He's in Jacksonville. He's just a hop, skipping away from us. And actually, Lord willing, I'll be able to see him next week when we're going to be in Jacksonville. Man, I want to connect with him. Just laugh. He doesn't mind. He likes the attention. I love him so much. But no matter what your advantage is, maybe, you know, like even physically, like in every area, physically, emotionally, spiritually, like physically, you're strong. You can help those who are weak. Emotionally, if you have this peace, you can be a blessing to those around you who are like, they always seem frazzled and rattled by circumstances in life. And God can use you to just speak just calming words to them. When you have an advantage, it's to minister to those who are disadvantaged in that area. I love that about God, how he blesses us in that way. I remember a time that we were up in Birmingham, Alabama, checking out Church of the Highlands, a church that we're now affiliated with in the association that we're part of, the Association of Related Churches, or ARC. So we're checking out Church of the Highlands up in Birmingham. And one night we went downtown and just started, you know, we went out to eat, great barbecue place. And then it was me, Pastor Bill, and Rebecca. And we started walking downtown. We're walking, you know, just checking out the different shops and stuff. It was late at night. I don't know, maybe 10 o'clock. You know, it's 9:30, 10. And there's this guy sitting, just, you can tell he was homeless. And he asked us for money. And I just felt this compulsion, this urge to just stop and turn and look at him and just come right to him. Pastor Bill and Rebecca, probably you guys didn't even hear him, you know, because you guys kept walking. And that's, I mean, you guys are awesome. You didn't do anything wrong is what I'm saying. You guys just didn't, that came out wrong. I'm so sorry. When I have a meeting with PB this week, it's true. So, you messed up. You're never preaching Sunday morning again. I'm just kidding. No, PB's cool. No, I'm sure what happened, he was a soft-spoken guy too, the guy that I turned towards. So I'm, without a doubt, I'm sure they missed it and kept walking. But I turned, and of course they noticed that I stopped, and they stopped too. But I turned and I looked at him. I said, "You know what? Honestly, I don't have any money," and I felt kind of cheesy doing this. But I said, "But what I have, I'll give to you," because that's what the Apostle Peter did. Yes. If you guys don't know the story, the Apostle Peter was about to walk into the temple, and this beggar who was crippled was asking for money, and Peter just turned to him, just locked eyes on him, and said, "Silver and gold I have not, but what I have I give to you. get up and walk. And it sounded cheesy, to my mind, but it was like the Holy Spirit, just say it. I said, I don't have any money, but what I have, I'll give to you. Do you need prayer for anything? And he said, actually, my shoulder's injured. He was a veteran. And from battle, he injured his shoulder. I said, are you in pain right now? He said, yeah. I said, can I pray for you? He said, yeah. I just prayed a very simple prayer. Father, you love him so much. I pray that you heal him. Heal his shoulder in Jesus' name. Praying for him once, I said, does it feel better? He said, yeah, it's feeling better. I said, can I pray for you one more time? I prayed for him again. I asked, how does that feel? He goes, that feels good. I said, I'm sorry, I don't have any money to give you. He said, nah, this is all I needed. We crossed the street, started walking down the road, back to where our vehicle was, and we saw him just across the street waving that arm that was just healed, saying goodbye to us. Was that God? Yeah, that was God. That wasn't me. I can't heal a fly. No, God, God's love, God's Holy Spirit, and the same power is inside of you too. Same power, same love and compassion to really use your advantage to bless those who are disadvantaged. Whoever you come across, that's your neighbor. You know that State Farm, need a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Why does that work, that marketing campaign? The world is crying out for good neighbors. The world is crying out for people who have hearts focused outward. There are a lot of disadvantaged people out there. And they're not victims. They're just waiting to be victorious in Christ. And we got to lead them to that with the love and compassion of God. That's our responsibility as the church. That's the cause of Christ. I read all these passages to you. It's all Jesus. It's his cause. And as his church, we're taking up that cause to bless the people around us, everyone we come in contact with. So I want to encourage you to wrap things up. Look beyond your circumstances. Trust in God's provisions. Move with compassion. And use your advantage to help others. Amen? Amen. Love you, Victory Church.
Man, that was an awesome message to give us all. That's incredible. Didn't you love that story about Mr. Rogers? That was cool. Man, we all want to be like that, that somebody, would care about invading us or hurting us. Great job, great message. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this message that's come forth, Lord God, about having a heart that reaches outward, Lord, looking outward. And we know that our default setting is to think about ourselves and be worried about ourselves. And we need help, Lord God. We inherited this nature from our great forefather Adam and Eve, that they were the same way, selfish and prideful. And we admit that's the way we are. And we come to you today humbly asking for help, Lord God, to be able to look outward at circumstances, people around us that need our help. Help us to be like Doug was in Mike's life. Lord, I just ask you to help. Sometimes the people that aggravate us the most, those are the people that we have what they need. We have something on the inside of us to give them, to bless them. Help us to see those opportunities, Lord God. Help us to be outward looking like you were, Jesus. Every place you went, you disregarded your own need and put the needs of others ahead of that. And we just come to you honestly and say, we need help in that, Lord God. We want to be the person like that Good Samaritan that picked up that man off the road and helped him. And we just say, we need your help, Lord God. Help us from the inside out. Strengthen us. Give us wisdom. Give us eyes to see. Give us the faith to believe that you're going to take care of us as we put others ahead of ourselves. Thank you, Lord. And thank you for giving us an opportunity this week to put it into practice, to touch somebody with the love and power of God. Right now, I got a very important question for everybody in this room. If you just think about this for a minute, if you died right now, would you go to heaven? If you died right now, would you go to heaven? You might be here today, you say, Pastor, I don't know. I hope so. I think so. Not really sure about that. Does anybody know? Yeah, the Bible says you can know. And if you don't know, that's a pretty important consequence to be leaving to chance. How do you get eternal life? Well, somebody asked Jesus that. And you know what he said? He said, you have to be born again. What does that mean? That means there comes a time in your life when you ask Jesus to forgive your sins. You ask him to come live on the inside of you. You commit your life to him, and he does that very thing. Going to church doesn't necessarily make you a Christian. Having Christian parents doesn't mean you're a Christian. You have to ask him to come into your life and forgive you. And if you've never done that, that's why God brought you here today. And in just a couple moments, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. But you might be here today. You say, you know what, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today I'm really not walking with God the way I'd like to be. And I want to make a new start. With every head bowed, eye closed, and I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come forward. But if today is a new day for you and you mean business with God and you want to get back on track, or you want to commit your life to him for the first time, would you just slip up your hand real quick? Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Today you mean business with God. It's a new day. It's a fresh start. Anybody else? Listen, right where you're seated, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Everybody help them. Dear Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. And I believe that God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior, and I can't save myself. Please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Let's give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer, meant business with God.